came in, they wanted to move the mic so I didn't knock them over. I just called it Baptist bowling if I knocked them over. Revelation chapter 19. Some of you got that. Rich got that. Rich, I'm glad you're here this morning. I miss someone to pick on and someone to be a part. It helps having a couple live faces. You know, it's great. A couple, though, that I love to pick on. Rick, you're here. It's good to have you, too. Those I like to pick on are here. And so I'm glad. And those that I really like to pick on, you stayed away because you knew it was best. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 this morning. As we continue preaching Sunday mornings through the Word of God, we've been preaching from Old Testament and New Testament, a message from each book, and gone through it. This is the second time we've gone through the New Testament, and we've been looking at several wonderful truths. And I tell you, I like this, doing Sunday mornings, because it gives us a little bit of the whole counsel of the Word of God to be able to look at some things. And then we do different things, of course, Sunday nights and Wednesdays, but I'm glad to be here in Revelation. And Revelation is full. I tell you, as I've been praying about what to preach out of the book of Revelation, I've been going back and forth. We could cover any of the seven churches. We could cover any period of the time, the tribulation period, any of that. We could cover the supper, and we could cover many different things. But what kept bringing me back was Revelation 19. And Revelation 19 deals with that the king is coming. The king is coming. Now, what's interesting, we understand that the Lord's going to come back in the rapture. But just as you have a coin in your pocket, there's two sides of the coin. There's two sides to the return of Christ. We understand that the rapture is going to take place, and those dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, be caught up together, will be taken up. But we also understand there's a time coming when the king's going to come, and he's going to come as the judge, and he's going to come and rule and to reign. And we understand what's going to take place and what's going to happen. And this is the period of time we're going to look at, where we're coming to, and the destruction and what's going to happen in regards to judgment and those on the earth and those and all that's going to happen in those armies. We're going to talk about that in regards to the king is coming. What is interesting, this portion of Scripture can be an encouragement or it could lay heavy on someone's heart. It could be an encouragement or it could be a warning. And it depends on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, how you look at this portion of Scripture. Those that are believers, those that have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we look at this as an encouragement. Because we see that Christ gets the victory. You see what happens. We even going to talk about, even we will come back with Christ. All that's going to happen. It's a glorious time for the believer. But with the king coming, this is also a time of warning to those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because during this time, we have the time of grace, the time of mercy, the time that individual can repent of their sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the king comes back, when we're in this period of time that we're going to look at this morning, there is no longer that period of time of grace and of mercy. It's this time of judgment and wrath. Someone said before, is there ever a time? Someone asked me this. They said, is there ever a time that it's too late? Well, it's too late when you die and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. And it's also going to be too late when we come to this period of time in Scripture. And we see the truths unfold here. Go ahead to Revelation 19. Let's look at verse 11. We're going to read through verse 11 through verse number 21 this morning, Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it it should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bound, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. And then that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain, the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. And we ask, Lord, as we look at this portion, you would just illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, you would help us to see the truths that you want us to glean and apply to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, we pray if there is one that does not know you as their Savior, that even through this message, they would turn to you and put their faith and trust in you and you alone for salvation. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You know what's interesting as we look at this? When the rapture occurs, it's as a thief in the night, Scripture says. It's going to be a quick, and not many are going to know what's going on. But when he comes back, this is going to be a little different. When the king comes back, you're going to see that people are going to know what is happening. They're going to see what is going on. I want us, as we look at the king is coming, I want us to look at his king. His coming will be visible. His coming will be visible. As you look at verse 11 through verse 13, as we read, well, we'll just read those again. I want you to see some thoughts of the appearance of Jesus here as he comes. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His nature, I want you to see from the very description, it is clear to see that Jesus is different than he came the first time. Now, we understand he came the first time. His ministry was to what? To seek and to save them which were lost. He came the first time to have that ministry of grace and of love and to go to that old work of cross and to die there. As he comes now, we understand it's a time of judgment. It's a time of dealing with these individuals that are talked about in this portion of Scripture. It also tells us in verse number 12 that he is full of glory. This verse tells us that Jesus Christ has many crowns. Now it's interesting. I want us to see a little thought here, because when the Antichrist came, he had a crown. Now his crown was given to him. And his crown was Stephanos, and this means the same type of crown that they were given when they did their Olympics and those type of things. Now, we see that the crowns that Jesus has is far different. It's the word diadem, and it refers to the crown of royalty. And it wasn't a crown that was given to him, it is his crown. And there's a difference given there. And it talks about all the glory and majesty that belongs to Jesus Christ, and he's full of glory. And even in the crowns, now we understand, and we don't have time to develop all this morning, but even when the Antichrist came, the false Christ came, even in what he was wearing shows that he's false. And when Christ comes back, it shows exactly who he is. He is not just a God, he is the God. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're told before when he comes back that everyone is going to realize, everyone's going to see, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that he is the Lord God, and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we see this unfold, we see his nature. We see he's full of glory and who Christ is. It also talks about his eyes were a flame of fire. That talks about holiness. It talks about he came for a purpose to deal with sin and to deal with the issues once and for all. I'm telling you, it's encouragement to me to know when the King comes back, when he comes back and he comes to this earth and he comes, what he's going to do, he's going to deal with all the sin and all the problems, the Antichrist, the devil, and all of them are going to be done away with forever. This is what he's dealing with. He's coming, he's dealing with holiness. No longer is sin going to be running rampant. No longer is the wickedness of this world going to be taking place as it is. Why? Because he is coming and he's going to deal with it. What's interesting is we look today and we think sometimes that this world is winning. And we've said this before. We think the world is winning, but let me tell you, one day they're going to be at their end. There is no more turning for them. There is no way that they're going to get out of it. They're going to have to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to deal with them. As we see in this portion of Scripture. And we're going to get into this. This is a visible appearance, but it's not a pleasant appearance. It was as we get into this, what's going to happen. Now, I want you to see also another thing as we look at his nature and look at about his appearance when he comes back. I want you to see in this verses here also another description that is given. It says that he is faithful and true. Look at verse 11. He is faithful and true. Now, many individuals tend to think that Christ is never coming back. You say, well, preacher, is he? You know, Paul thought he was going to return. Others thought he was going to return. And even in Revelations, it says, so come quickly, Lord Jesus. And is it, you know, they all thought he was coming quickly. Now, his time and my timing aren't the same. And we have to keep that in mind. The way I look at days, the way he looked at days are totally different. And the scripture even tells us what 1,000 days in his sight look like compared to ours. And it's far different. Now, as we see this, what does he say? What is happening? He is faithful and true. What is telling us about Jesus Christ is everything that he's promised, everything that he says, everything that he is going to happen. He is faithful and true. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. This is the truth. That when the Antichrist came, that is not the truth. He was the father of lies, if you will. He was sent from who? The devil. All that took place and all that happened. This is when Jesus Christ comes back, and he comes back in a white horse. Now let me just say this. One of the questions I'm going to ask when I get to heaven, why a horse? Why a white horse? Those that know me know I don't care for horses. But he's going to come back on a horse. I mean, there's some better ways, I think, in my mind, than a horse. I tell you, I hope I never have to ride one even in heaven. I hope I never have to even touch a horse. But as we see this, he's coming back. And he's coming back in the purity. He's coming back, and the white represents the pure, and it represents the holiness, it represents who Christ is. And as he comes back, it says he is faithful and true. Let us not forget how our God is faithful. Now, some will say, well, the Lord should come back sooner. The Lord should deal with sin now. The Lord should deal with the wickedness that's happening in our world today. And some will even look at the circumstances and the events we're in today and say, well, God needs to deal with them and deal with them now. But let me tell you, God is faithful. And I'm glad God is faithful, but I'm also glad God is long-suffering. Because if it wasn't for the long-sufferingness of God, where would you and I be this morning? I know we want others to get judged today. We want others to be dealt with today. And we've said this before and you've heard before, good thing we're not God. Because if we were God, what would you do? You would strike some people dead that bother you just a little bit. But you would have to strike yourself dead. Why? Because you bother yourself too because of your sins and the things we do. And it says that God is faithful and he is true. There is nothing that God has ever said that's never going to take place that's not going to happen. Everything God has said will come and be a part and happen. Now it also says that he comes in faithful and true in what? In righteousness. As he comes, he wages a righteous war. Now, most of our wars up to this point have been over sin. Sin in the sense that someone has committed, done something they shouldn't have done, and because of that, then we have war. It could be another nation, it could be the same nation, and the civil wars, and all that's taking place, and usually has something to do with sin. Now, when this war comes, it's a righteous war on God's side to deal with what, though? What is it dealing with? It's dealing with the sin that's taking place. But it's a war in truth and truth and faithfulness in righteousness. And as he comes, he's going to deal with these things. His appearance is visible. People are going to see, here comes Jesus on a white horse. Here he comes wearing the crown of glory. Here he comes, the one who is true and faithful. Here's the one that's going to come and deal in righteousness and in the truth and deal with what is happening and be the judge and take care of the issue. Here's the one that's coming, but also gives us a little more about his appearance. We see in verse 12 through 13, and we read those, we see that he's going to have some names. In verse 12, there's a name of mystery. There's a name. Look at verse 12. There is, his eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. The Bible tells us that Jesus has a name written on him that no man can know. It seems that he refused to know the name of Jesus except as a byword. Now they cannot know him at all. Now it's interesting, this whole idea that they don't know the name. The individuals don't know the name and don't know the name that was on him. Why? Because when Christ first came, what? They were told who he was, and he came on his own, and his own knew him not. Now he comes as a king. They didn't know him when they lived. They didn't want to know who he was. And now as he comes, there's a name written on him. They don't know who this is. Now, we can look at this and take this many different angles this morning. But as you look at this, as he's coming and they don't know this name, this mysterious name, all the signs point to who this is. But they're blinded in their sin and they're blinded in their ways because now they cannot see right in front of them who is standing before them. Wait, it says he comes on a white horse. It says all this about his appearance, and he's faithful, and he's true, and his righteousness, and all this comes back. But they see, they don't know who he is. This is true to a point in our world today. We can apply it. I understand there's one interpretation, but there's many applications. There are many individuals that have heard the word of God. There are many individuals who have had family members show them what Scripture saith. Point them to Jesus. But yet they look and they say, we don't know who Jesus is. We don't know him. And these individuals do not know who this is. There's this mysterious name given there. It's not. What happens when you and I come to a point of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ? We were blind and the trespasses of our sins. But what had to happen? Jesus had to open our eyes. He had to reveal himself to us. We had to open our eyes and see our need of a Savior. And as we open our eyes, we saw that we needed Jesus Christ. Also, let's look a little bit at his visible return. Look at verse number 16. There's so much here. And he that hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, what did they put above Jesus in the book of Matthew? What did they put when Jesus was crucified? This is the King of the Jews. Now, what is the title that he comes? What is the title given here? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, Jesus was not just the King of the Jews. Jesus is God. And this is a point I believe we need to understand and get. This is an encouragement to us as believers. Is we don't serve just a God. We serve the God. When Jesus Christ came, he did not lose his deity. But he was 100% man, yet he was 100% God. He wasn't 50-50. He was 100%, 100%. When he came, he is God. And Jesus is God. He's not just the Son of God. He is God. He's just not a God. He is the God. We have to understand there's many religions today that teach there's three different gods. No, there's not three different gods. I understand the Trinity and I understand that, but it's all one God. And what he's saying, what we see here is who this one is that's coming back, that's his visible return. This is the God. This is the God that created this world. This is the God that saved you. This is the God that raptured up those in him. This is the God, and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and no one has ever, will ever compare to him. Because there's no other that's 100% God, 100% man that came. There's none that will come back in this king returning as God himself. He came back here as God. I want you to see, as we look at this, look at verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, and clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. Now, some have many different thoughts. Who's the army? Who's that? But I believe you look at that and look at other portions, it is quite possible, and we do believe that we're going to come back to Christ. This army is talking about those that are in Christ. This is those that are coming back. Now, it's interesting to look at the army. The army doesn't have any weapons. And there's only one weapon we're going to be introduced in a few minutes. And that is the weapon that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that is the Word of God. And we're going to come and see this. And as his army comes and all that takes place in the raiment, Jesus comes, he doesn't bring that terror. He doesn't bring the guns. He doesn't bring that. He brings the Word. And we'll see that. We see this as the appearance, the visible appearance. But I also want you to see this is a violent appearance. Now, verse 17 and verse 18, we need to be careful how we approach these verses. It's very graphic, if you will. And this is where I'm saying in the beginning, this is a very encouragement portion of Scripture for those that are in Christ. But those that are in Christ, it's a warning, and it can be taken pretty heavy. Because you're going to see what's going to take place here. And what's going to happen? We see as Christ comes back, it's a visible. We see the word of truth. We see all those things that are there. And now we come to verse 17 and verse 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heavens, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings, and eat the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bound, both small and great. What do we see about this return? What does he do? He calls the fowl. Now, some of you like birds. Some of us that are smarter do not like birds. Birds of all animals are the ones that scare me the most. And I tell you, there's sometimes when you go to Walmart and they have all those birds around and they're flying over your head. You know what I start to think of is this portion of scripture. They're coming to get me. I mean, they're zooming around you. And I know people say, oh, they won't bother you. Well, let me tell you, if it's going to happen to anybody, it's going to happen to me. I was in California. This is many years ago for a conference. And I was with my good friend Brian Tanis and Steve Brunick. And we went to the conference. And we were in the parking lot of a grocery store. And we were walking into the store. And there was these birds all around. And they were laughing. And they said, oh, they won't bother us. Guess who had a bird come right over the top of his head and almost get him? Yes, me. Those that remember, about 6-7 years ago, we had our missionary, Keith Kashner, with us. And they stayed on the grounds here for a while. And we had some blackbirds living in those trees there. And I tell you, those that remember Keith, Keith's a big guy. He's tall. He's a big man. I never seen anyone drop a watermelon like he dropped a watermelon and run into the door of the church because these birds are coming after him. You got to be careful of the birds. But the idea is, as you look at this, as you see this, they're coming, and they're coming to eat up, and they're coming to eat up the flesh. They're coming, and God calls them. The king here calls them to come because they're going to feast. They're going to have feasting like they never had before. Because why? Because they're going to have the flesh of the kings. They're going to have the flesh of all these individuals. They're going to have the flesh of the horses and those that sit on the horses. They're going to have all the flesh here. They're coming here. Why? Because it's picturing something. It's picturing death. It's picturing ultimate victory. It's picturing they're going to be dealt with once and for all. What a warning. What a warning given. I don't want to sound unkind this morning. But the warning is given. And we can apply it to us today. There is a time coming when there's going to be death. You and I are not guaranteed to live another minute. It's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Life is but a vapor, and we can go through all the verses that talk about this. We're going to face death. And when we die, we can't come back. Those that remember an event recorded in scriptures about an individual that wanted to leave hell and come back and tell his loved ones, ain't going to happen. You and I are not going to be able to change after we die. That is it. It's final. Death is final. The warning is this. Some say, I have my whole life to live. You don't know how long your whole life is. But I do know this. The Bible says that today can be your day of salvation. I do know that right now, any individual that understands the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and puts their faith and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation, God can save this very moment. I do understand that there is going to be a time when we die and that's it. But I want you to know, as long as you have breath, you have opportunity to repent of your sin and by faith, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him and Him alone for salvation. Let me encourage you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today can be your day. It's nothing you have done. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. The warning is given. There's going to be coming a day when you're going to die. But let me tell you, you don't have to enter the grave without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior. And you can put your faith and trust in Him. And the Bible says, then when we die, we don't truly die. Because it's not a spiritual death at that time. It's a physical death. And those that are dead in Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. His coming will be visible. It'll be violent. But it's also going to be victorious. Look at verse 19 through verse 21. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. His coming be victorious. The earth armies would be drawn to the place of Armageddon. Those that have been to Israel, we've been to the valley, we've been to the area which will be this area, this battle of Armageddon. And as those that have been there, as you look at this and you see how it gulfs down in and all that's around them, it's amazing how this is going to take place, but you can see how all this is going to become about. And he draws them to this area. He brings them to this place that's going to happen. And at this battle of Armageddon, at this battle that takes place, according to verse 20 and verse 21, all the earth armies will be destroyed here. The devilish duo are destroyed, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and him with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. All those are going to be dealt with. Now it's interesting. He calls out these two, and I want you to see. He calls out these two individuals, and he says what they have done. With their false miracles, they have deceived many. Now, keep this in mind. I'm not saying that we have the false prophet and the Antichrist in them living today. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. There are many who are false prophets. There are many who are Antichrist in the truest form that are leading people astray with their false teachings and even false miracles. There's those that try to perform miracles, those that try to perform many different things, and people follow them. It's interesting. If you're a charismatic individual and you don't hurt people, or not hurt people is not the word, if you're not hard on people, if you're soft and you preach a lovey-dovey message and you show some type of thrill and some type of thing, you know you can get a crowd. People follow. We see this with even so-called faith healers of our day. They do these so-called healings. Now, I do have a thought that came to my mind is if they can really do this, why haven't they taken care of the issue that we're facing right now? Just a thought to throw out there. And we see all these individuals come. Now, those that thought they were something now are going to be taken out. And they deceived them to what? To receive the mark of the beast. Now, we don't have time to get into this whole debate. What exactly is the mark of the beast? We do know where the mark of the beast is going to be put, according to Scripture. We do understand what it's going to be used for. We do understand some of the other things that go alongside with that. And we understand that many people are drawn in to believe this is what they have to do. But those that have deceived the people are going to be done away with. Now let me say this on this other side of the coin. We got to make sure that we are teaching truth and we're not deceiving anybody. You and I have a responsibility to make sure that truth is being presented. And we need to make sure we haven't deceived ourselves either. And certain things. And here's what takes place. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Now, it's interesting there. Did you see that phrase there? Worshipped his image. We got to be careful in our day and age that we don't worship the image of somebody. And that's why the Bible talks about graven images. And we don't have time to get in the whole wording there and the words that used here and there and talk about the whole thing. But we need to be careful that we're not worshiping a man. We need to make sure, and not even a man's image, if you will, but we need to be worshiping God. And that is the one who we need to be worshiping. And those that worshiped even the image, even those things, what would happen? They were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. What does this tell us? They're dealt with forever. There's no return. There's no sequel. This is it. This is done with. This is what's going to take place and going to happen. You say, well, preacher, that sounds a little too stretched for my imagination. Well, the Bible says that He is faithful and true. We looked at it in this portion of Scripture. And if God says this is what's going to take place, this is what's going to take place. And after they're cast in, after all this is done, we see in the last verse of this chapter, and the remnant was slain, and the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. What does it tell us? Those that were killed, what happened to them? Their flesh was eaten up by those fowl. And how were they slain? With the sword of his mouth. And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's with his mouth, with the sword of his mouth. I don't believe there's going to be the weapons that we think of weapons today. This is not what this does. But what does it show? The one who could speak this world into existence can speak and have ultimate victory over the enemy. And those that were the false prophets led astray, they were cast in the lake of fire. The others were slain, and their flesh was eaten up. But the ultimate picture is victory. It's an encouragement to you and me that know the Lord Jesus Christ, because it shows victory. And I know my God has the victory. And as I go through my life today, I know there's all these little issues and all these little problems and all the little things we're facing, but I know who's in control, and I know who has the victory. My God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a warning to those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, because there's a time coming when there's not going to be opportunity for you to turn. It might be death, it might be other things, but there's going to be a time coming. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus today. You see, as we go through the circumstances in our lives, we're to make sure that we keep the right testimony for our Lord. No matter the circumstance we're facing, no matter what circumstance you and I are going for, we need to keep the right testimony, because what do we need to be doing? We need to be pointing people to Jesus, because the King is coming. And I'm not going to say the King's coming and the rapture's going to take place and then the other side of the coin, the King's going to come and deal with it. I'm not going to say it's going to happen tomorrow. But I am going to tell you, no man knows the time. And when his time is to come, he's going to come. And it's going to be taking place. I don't know. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now. And very few of you will be alive. Maybe a couple of the kids may be alive. Could you imagine Reagan at 110 years old? Eli at 110. Ezra at 104. We'd be in trouble. Lily, you'd be too old. You'd be gone. No one makes it that old. And we would see all, but God is coming. We don't know when. But we do know He's faithful, and He's true, and He is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Believer, we need to be ready in the sense we need to be living a life pleasing in His sight. We need to be encouraged that God gets the victory. Unbeliever, are you ready? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not ready. But you can be today. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for this portion of scripture. Lord, we know there was so much more in this portion of scripture. And there's even more in my notes that we didn't even touch. And Lord, we just ask that you just use what we've looked at and what we've seen. And Lord, help it to encourage us. But Lord, also, we ask that you just open the eyes of those that do need you as their Savior. Help us put our faith and trust in you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Ask the pianist to go ahead and start playing. As the pianist starts playing,